Well, it's a very good evening. It's just gone 6 minutes past seven on this Thursday, and you're welcome along to another edition of The Score programme. Coming up on tonight's show, we will be hearing from 400-metre European silver medalist, that's Fintan Dewhurst of Tyrconnell AC. We'll be looking ahead to the All-Ireland Ladies semi-final with Donegal manager Maxi Kern and captain Niamh McLaughlin. Stay tuned as well, because we've got a couple of pairs of tickets for that semi-final at Croke Park to give away on the programme tonight as well. Gavin Cullen's also standing by. We'll be hearing from Gavin shortly to look ahead to the big Northwest Derby between Finn Harps and Derry City, which of course is taking place this coming Sunday evening. 6 o'clock is the start time for that derby at Finn Park on Sunday in the Premier Division. And it's with football we're going to begin. Joining me on a line is Derry Journal soccer writer Kevin McLaughlin. Derry City taking on Riga in the Europa Conference League qualification second leg this evening. Kevin, it's a very good evening, and is it a very good evening for Derry City so far? Well, unfortunately, Kevin is not on the line at the moment, so we'll try and get him back. What I do know is Derry City are trailing at halftime in their game at the moment against Riga, so that means they are 3-0 down on aggregate there. Just checking to see if Gavin Cullen's on the other line. Gavin, very good evening to you. Well, unfortunately, Gavin is not with us either. We're going to try Kevin one more time. Hopefully Kevin has joined us. Kevin, very good evening. Can you hear us?
I can hear you now, Oisin. Yes, okay. Loud and clear.
Okay, Kevin. Good to talk to you. Things not going the way of Derry City in that first half in the second leg of their Conference League game against Riga. 1-0 down at the break.
Yeah, 1-0 down at the break. And Rory Higgins will be frustrated and annoyed because his side, to be honest, he should have been at least 2 or 3 up in the first 20 minutes. James Akintunde blocked an effort from Cameron McGannon, his own teammate, on the line. He then went one-on-one with the keepers, a glorious chance. If he hits the target, he scores. He dragged his shot wide. And Danny Lafferty, just before Akintunde's effort, was also on tight enough angle, but he hit the side netting. So in European football, when you get 2 or 3 clear-cut chances, which Derry did, you have to take them. And then the sucker punch, just like the game last week, half an hour gone, they were thinking they were an easy streak and really in the game. But they just lacked a concentration, 33 minutes. They broke down the left-hand side, Riga, and the cutback came to be Gabriel Ramos. And just like last week, the big Brazilian made no mistake, fired home on the top corner. And you could see the Derry heads dropping then. I seen it was a case of, look, we need to get the first goal. The heads dropped, and for a couple of minutes after that, Riga had chances to go further ahead. And they just didn't take the chances. It was basically one of them where Ramos went close again, and so did the striker, Filippo. He put it wide whenever he should have done better, and Derry then could have been out of sight. But look, Rory Higgins will take the first half an hour and tell his team at half-time, look, we were in this tie. We let a stupid goal given away. We have to come back out and try and get back into the tie in the second half.
Yeah, looking to get back into it in the second half. He did say that they were very, very capable of getting a result out in Riga, and they would be looking for that as well ahead of the derby against Harps on Sunday. But from just a game point of view tonight, the tie is definitely, the game is not dead, and Derry are still in contention to get a result on the road in Europe, which of course, historically, they have done before.
That's exactly it, and that's what Rory Higgins will be saying, the team, to try and get back in here and get back at it, and just lift ahead. They can't, you know, feel sorry for themselves. They need to get a bit of momentum, get into the second half of the season. And regardless, you may be knocked out of Europe and they'll be disappointed. If you can get a victory on the road in Europe, it's significant. And then you go on, as you say, the end of Sunday's derby at Ballybuffet, which will not be easy at all.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin, we might maybe give you another call towards the end of the programme and see how Derry are faring out in that second half of the Europa Conference League qualification. Away to Riga. On aggregate, they're 3 down tonight in the second leg. They're trailing by a goal to nil. Gavin Cullen, a former Finn Harps captain and goalkeeper, is joining us on the other line now to discuss the Premier Division action this weekend. A very good evening, Gavin.
Good evening, Ocean. How are you?
I'm not too bad, Gavin. I'm sure you heard Kevin there telling us all about the game that Derry's involved in at the moment. Harps have had two wins this season. They're still trying to find their third in the Premier Division. They'll be hoping Derry might be coming to Balba Fae with a bit of a European hangover on Sunday evening.
Yeah, it's a possibility, and I'm sure Derry will be tired from their exploits tonight. But again, Derry are a professional outfit. They're a full-time club, and the players will be well looked after and well prepared for Sunday. So they'll obviously play tonight, and that'll take a lot out of them. They'll probably travel back tomorrow, recover, and get prepared then on Saturday for the game. But again, I suppose with all the European clubs, with the two-legged affair over a week, it's tough going, so it is. So it's as good an opportunity as Hearts will have to turn Derry over anyway this season.
Yeah, I see Ollie Horgan speaking in the local press today saying that we have to improve. Will Hearts have to improve if they're going to get anything against Derry in the derby?
Yeah, big time. The Hearts, but look, the table doesn't lie. There's 12 points. They're 13 points adrift of the next team up, and they're only 3 points ahead of UCD. So looking at the table, it's going to be a tough end of the season for Harps and UCD, and they're both probably hoping to finish in the playoff spot and hoping to stay up that way. But look, again, going in on such poor form to playoffs and stuff like that isn't ideal either, because you'll be playing a Galway or a Cork or somebody who've been one on matches. So again, it's very early in the season to be talking about that, but at the same time, you know, it's realistic with the way the league table's sitting, so they really, really need results.
Yeah, they'll be looking for a bit of improvement, so they will. Robert Jones, Harry Nicholson, Adam McCaffrey and Liam McGing all added into the panel, the senior ranks at Finn Harps over the last week or so. Ollie Horgan, I'm sure, will be looking at a few more in the next couple of weeks. He'll be hoping that he can bolster his side in such a way that they can find those performances, Gavin.
Yeah, well, obviously Ollie feels that he needs to bring in players, he needs to shake things up. I think he said that a few weeks ago, that something has to change, something has to give, and he's obviously signed players now. Again, signing players in the mid-season window that, again, aren't household names or used to the League of Ireland is a gamble, but it's obviously a gamble that seems to be worth taking. And again, look, young Adam McCaffrey coming back under the squad and actually making his debut. He's had a tough year, and everybody, I suppose, in football is delighted to see that he's done that, and hopefully coming through the academy and getting into the first team, he can push on. You know, so that's a real positive from last week's game for everybody at the club, I suppose. But in terms of these signings, I'm not sure if Ollie's bringing in more or not, but he seems to be working hard on that side of things.
Yeah, and those games between Derry and Harps, Gavin, the two matches so far this year, they've been tight affairs. Derry won 1-1, and then obviously the last game, which was last month, Owen Toole wasn't scored very, very late for a share of the spoils. So are we expecting something similar?
Yeah, look, the game in the Brandywell last month was probably Harps' best performance, or one of the best performances of the season. They'll feel aggrieved for 60, 70 minutes. They were the better side, and to all intents and purposes, should have won the game. They give away a poor goal in injury time. And Patchin's free kick was a bit disappointing as well. But they were very good, and there was positive signs from that. But again, they haven't kicked on properly from that result. And Sunday, again, they'll be hoping and expecting another performance to get. And if they do, they'll probably win the game this Sunday if they play as well as that.
Yeah. If you're going to beat Derry, how do you go about it, Gavin, in your view?
I think exactly what they done in the Brandywell that night. They didn't fear Derry. They pressed them. At that stage, Derry looked a bit tired and a bit leggy compared to where earlier on the season. And McWoods and players like that pressed them, worked hard high up the pitch, and got their just rewards. And they done very well. And they had a great game plan tactically, got it right, and on the pitch got it right. It was just a real pity for Harps on the day that they conceded the goal that they conceded.
Yeah, and the flip side of that is, what do Harps have to be worried of from a Derry point of view? Is obviously you've got the likes of Jimmy McGonigal, we know was in fantastic form in the early part of the year, and they've got several players that can bang in the goals, so they do.
Yeah, well, look, Derry have scored a lot of goals this season from all patching set pieces, and they'll obviously have to be aware of that. And any given day that he's dangerous, and from directly or balls in the box. None of Derry's forwards are really setting the world alight at the minute, in terms of there's nothing to fear there. But at the same time, they have a lot of good players in their team and a lot of good players in their squad. So, all in all, there's no fear for Harps going on this Sunday, but there's an opportunity for 3 points, as good as you'll get against Derry.
And Sligo Rovers also in action against UCD. By the way, they're in Europe tonight. They've, 15 minutes played at the showgrounds. 0-0 against Ballytown. Rovers, of course, leading that 1-2-1 in aggregate, going into to the second game. UCD will be very much in the same sort of thought as Van Harps. Possible European hangover on Sunday for Sligo?
They will, yeah, but Sligo, obviously, since John Russell come in, they're one of the form teams in the league. They'll be buoyed massively. They got a great result last week in Europe and looked like they're favourites to go through tonight. If they go through, that gives players a massive lift and going into the weekend as well. So the tired legs, tired minds don't be as big a deal as when you're losing games. Again, it's very hard to see past Sligo at the showgrounds, the form they're in at the minute.
Two other games taking place on Friday. It is, of course, a reduced programme and a programme which has games moved. Drogheda against Bowes and St Pat's against Dundalk, both on Friday. How do you see them ones go, Gavin?
Difficult to call. Drogheda have been inconsistent this season. They're coming off the back of a great result against Dundalk. So again, Bowes at the same time, they're sort of in around each other on the league table, so it's a very hard one to call. You know, we could see a draw or possibly another Drogheda victory. I think there's a couple of rumours and talks of players, Bowes losing players to English clubs. So again, that won't be great for their squad in terms of settlement and stuff. So you can see Drogheda won on that one.
Yeah.
And again, the Dundalk Pats game is a tough one to call. Two good sides. Dundalk were in really good form up to the Drogheda game. So again, they're second in the league for the right reasons.
Yeah. Just finally then, how's the preparations going for the FAI Senior Cup down at Coghill?
It's slow. It's an early time of year. We played a friendly last Friday, and we're on this weekend. We're training on Friday, and we have a friendly on Sunday morning, another friendly on Tuesday. So we're trying to ramp it up as much as we can. We get about 6-7 sessions in between now and the UCD game, so that's about all we can ask for at this stage. So look, we'll hope for the best on the tie, but we're not going to be too worried about it at the same time.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, we wish you the best of luck with the rest of your preparations for that game. We'll be talking closer, of course, to that game as well, Gavin. But many thanks for joining us tonight live here on Highland on our League of Ireland chat.
Thanks, Austin. Thank you.
There you go, Gavin Cullen, former Fun Harps goalkeeper, former captain at Harps as well, and of course, current Coghill Celtic manager. They're busy in the thick of preparing for the FAI Senior Cup on the last weekend of this month. So Sligo Rovers taking on Ballytown. Just to double check in that there's been no scores since when we were last there, it was 0-0. That is still the case. Larne are 0-0 with St Joseph's. Crusaders 2-1 down to Bruno's Magpies. Cliftonville 2-1 down to Donisca Strada. Those games involving the Irish League sides, of course, also taking place tonight as well. And Fun Harps against Derry City. I'm sure you heard the promo on air. It's going to be fully live here on Highland this coming Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. It's the Derby, the third one of the year, and it's live on Highland with the commentary team of Jeremy Doherty and Declan Boyle this coming Sunday from that tie. Now, just two Gaelic games before we start our preview of the All-Ireland semi-final, where, of course, Donegal are taking on Meath on Saturday. That game has a 4 o'clock throw-in time at Croke Park as Donegal take on the defending champions. The game is live on Highland as well. I'll be joined in commentary by Maureen O'Donnell high in the Hogan stand. We'll bring you full live match coverage as from the throw-in time. But before we hear from Maxi Kern and Captain Niamh McLaughlin, we've got a couple of pairs of tickets for the game at Croke Park to give away on the show tonight. The question is, which county did Donegal beat in the opening round of this year's All-Ireland Senior Ladies Championship? Was it Waterford or Cork? So which county did Donegal beat in the opening round of this year's All-Ireland Senior Ladies Championship? Was it Waterford or Cork? Stick your answer along with your name and address onto a text and send it to 086 60 25,000. That's 086 60 25,000, and we'll announce the winner later on our Facebook page this evening. So then, let's hear now from some of the members of the Donegal camp ahead of that game against, remember, the reigning All-Ireland champions Meath. These two sides know each other well because the tie is a repeat of the Division 1 League final, which Donegal really, really pushed it hard on Meath. It was the Royals that won it 2-8 to 1-9 at the end. A two-point victory for Meath as they became Division 1 League champions for the very first time and continued on their fine, superb winning run. But Donegal are going into the game off the back of a superb result last week where they took the scalp off one of the favourites for the All-Ireland this year in Dublin. It really was a stunning Donegal performance in Carrigan-Shannon last weekend to beat the Dubs, and they know that they're going to have to step up to that level again if they're going to be competitive against Meath. This week on the preview, Tom Comack has been speaking with Maxi Curran, the Donegal senior ladies manager.
Very little time to bask in your glory of Saturday's quarter final win over Dublin. Possibly can be a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not sure. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, no, I think it's a good thing. You know, there's a lot of talk about it, and I've got a lot of people clapping you on the back. But as we all know, the clap on the back's very close to a kick up somewhere else. So there isn't much time to dwell on it or to get too bogged down and all of that. You know, you just have to get, you know, your head back in the game, and you know, you go from the frying pan into the fire. You go from, you know, the old All-Ireland champions to the current ones, and you know, a far greater challenge. I feel that, you know, a team that's just, you know, brim full of youth and exuberance and flying full of confidence. So we know it's going to be a huge battle this weekend.
And Meath provide a different kind of challenge to Dublin, don't they?
Yeah, very much. And I say that you know, youth as much as anything else. You know, they're a really young, hungry team, and you know, Dublin were a team that were, you know, in the autumn of their evolution, you could say. So Meath are going to come with a bang. You know, they probably weren't at themselves to the full extent that they would have been last year up until this. But you could just see in Saturday night against Galway in the quarter final, they had that bit between their teeth again. So yeah, it's going to be a huge battle for
them. Yeah, and of course you are the league champions. You've met them already. Get them a run for their money in the league final.
Look, I don't think we have anything to fear from them. You know, I think we know exactly what we're dealing with. Sometimes it's better the devil you don't. And we know they're going to be, you know, very defensive. To get bodies back, but to do it in such a good way, and they break up the field with serious pace. And you know, I mentioned the youth and their team allows them to do that, and allows them to do it time and time again. You know, they just don't stop from start to finish, and you know, their energy levels is phenomenal, and their hunger and their will to carry out their game plan is brilliant to watch from a youthful perspective, as we all would have done last year. But look, when you're looking at it now from our side of the fence, and you're trying to bring them down, it's a daunting enough prospect. But look, we've put ourselves in a position to be in an All-Ireland semi-final, and you know, we've taken down one of the greatest teams ever to play, and you know, we're very proud of that, and we take great heart from that. And we know we get to Croke Park on Sunday, and we have all we need to beat Meath, whether we go and do it or not.
And the funny thing about Meath is, you know, they've come from literally obscurity. You know, intermediate championship a couple of years ago to senior champions last year was their big breakthrough.
Look, they've, you know, consecutive promotions from Division 3 to Division 2 and now into Division 1, where they played this year and went on to win the thing. So you know, they're on a phenomenal run, and look, even the fact they played in Croke Park so much over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, I think this will be their 6th or 7th out in Croke Park, and you know, even that in itself, you know, the familiarity of that takes the daunting experience that is Croke Park away from them. So they are a very experienced outfit for a team that are so young. But look, their win ratio over the last number of years is frightening. They've lost maybe 3 games in 3 years. So you know, a seriously, you know, confident group, and you know, with the coach and Paul Garrigan, you know, a fantastic coach, and he's done a brilliant job with them. And they're on the crest of a wave, and you know, they'll be a serious opponent for us on Saturday.
Funny enough, Dublin beat them twice this year. Was it beat them in the round robin? No, me beat them in the round robin.
Dublin only caught them once. You know, they played
in the league final.
Dublin did beat them twice. Dublin beat them in the league group stages and in the Leinster final. So yeah, and then Meath would have won the Leinster Championship group game, and then obviously last year's All-Ireland final. So yeah, look, they were 2-2, and look, two great battles away. But I think the way Dublin played their football, you know, was one thing that Meath really struggled with, no more than ourselves, that really high press, a really aggressive press all around the field. You know, that's a big challenge for us now, is to figure out what way to go at them. You know, do we go along the lines of what we had great joy with ourselves last weekend, or do we do what Dublin done? with great success against Meath in the Leinster final. So yeah, look, there's a few tactical decisions for us to try and weigh up over the next few days.
How did Dublin beat them in the Leinster final?
They strangled the life out of them and they just squeezed them all over the field. Look, they were very aggressive and probably got away with one or two decisions that that I know Meath wouldn't have been happy about. And you know, it was something that Meath had not come up against before. But look, that's a style of play that you just don't, you know, switch on overnight, and it's not something you do easily. And look, Dublin have been playing that way for a while, and they've been playing the game with an edge physically and Bardon going over the top. And you know, and I think Meath struggled that day with it, and they got a couple of decisions. They got a penalty at a stage, was crucial for Dublin to win in the game. So look, but it's just a very different game. It's completely new challenge for us compared to Dublin. We spent the last 2 weeks, you know, obsessing about Dublin and trying to figure out how to play them. And to be fair, Meath showed us, you know, showed everybody the template for playing against Dublin, stifling them. And look, we tried to do something similar, and thankfully it worked for us the weekend.
Yeah, so it's a mirror image of each other, really. You know,
well, potentially, you know, we all know that would have been Mickey Hart's, you know, mantra when playing Donegal in the early 2000s, and you know, with the 2012-2011 that area, he always felt that that was a way to play that system. And you know, I think people forget how close Tyrone came to taking Donegal out in 2012. It wasn't for a brilliant save by Papa at that stage. You know, the whole thing may not have played out the way it did. So, it's the big one for us, you know, at management level, is to try and figure out, is that the way to go, is to mirror it wholesale and see who blinks first.
Mirroring it and following through on it, I suppose, 2 weeks in succession. It'll be much the same game plan, really. You'll be trying to stifle them, make it as life as difficult for them, and hit them on the break.
Hit them on the break. But again, look, I say they're so experienced at it. You know, they've been developing this for 4 years. You know, we probably are at it for about 4 weeks, and I think that's going to make it an interesting and interesting challenge. We have, you know, serious footballers at the top end of the field, and it worked out well for us on Saturday. And when the chances fell, those couple of girls took them. Yvonne and Karen and Niamh Hardy and Geraldine's contribution was massive. So, you know, we are hoping that that's how it plays out again. But you have to imagine that Meath will not be maybe as naive as Dublin, and they'll not leave the back door open to the same degree. I don't think they'll go player to player inside their own full back line. So again, the scores are probably going to be harder to come by than they were against Dublin. So no, it's going to be a very different game, but look, it's a great occasion for us. Brilliant for the girls to get back to Croke Park.
As we said, you ran them very close in the league final, you know, had them on the rack at one stage, and your team has changed quite a bit. I would suggest you got stronger.
Possibly, yeah. You know, the likes of Emer Gallagher has come in after her injury. Deirdre Foley played the last day, very experienced player.
Tanya Kennedy,
you know, she would have played the last 10 minutes of the league final, so another massive addition for us. And then Niamh Hickerty wouldn't have been in the squad long before the league final as well. So, look, those are two players who played the last day, and the two girls that are just in are big helps to us. And look, we'd like to feel that we're a bit further down the line ourselves, all right. No, it would have been then, and if I'm honest, we're having more football played back then. But look, they're also 12 weeks further down the line than where they were at that stage. And, you know, you could just see on Saturday night the pep back in their step. And I don't think it'll be a game that resemble the league final. I think it'll be a very different affair.
Has your team and your girls in them to put two performances back to back?
Well, that's the challenge. Look, I think so. I don't think we've played for 60 minutes before in the time I've been with them. And I think that's probably down to the way we set out to play it. It made for very little being able to go wrong in the early stages of the game. So, you know, when you control the game and play it on your terms, you know, I think you are in a greater position of staying the course, whichever course you decide to go on. So, I think that kind of a system allows for that. And, you know, you shouldn't get sucker punched in the way that we would have got done in previous games, even against me in the league final. We conceded a goal midway through the first half, you know, with a kick out over the top. So, look, you'd like to think that that wouldn't happen. And I think it'll make for a far different game. And I think it allows our girls to settle into the game and be competitive the whole way through.
Tell me, any knocks or bruises after the weekend? There's a bunch of something natural.
Plenty. But nobody we're overly concerned about. We train again tonight, and we'll see where everybody's fixed after that.
No, it'll be easy enough training this week, will it?
No bother getting them gathered up this week. So look, the turnaround is very quick, as you said, and it doesn't give much time for injuries to heal, or it doesn't give you much time to work on anything new either. Same for me. Look, because we're just really glad to have that opportunity.
Obviously, confidence has been greatly boosted as well by beating Dublin.
Massive. You know, we've had a lot of bad days against Dublin, even though we've had quite a good record against Dublin. You know, I think that's, you know, 3 games we've beaten them. I'm not sure anybody else has beaten beaten them three times in Mick Bowen's tenure. So, but yeah, look, at the nature of the defeat, and look, we were very comfortable, and you know, at one stage we were 10 points up and really cruising, and we're full value for that, at the, you know, the way Saturday played out. So yeah, look, you often hear you're only as good as your last performance, so if that's as good as we are, we'd be happy enough.
Donegal obviously looking for another big performance against Meath in the All-Ireland semi-final on Sunday. We'll hear from Niamh McLaughlin in just a moment, the Donegal captain. But to remind you of our competition, we have a couple of pairs of tickets to give away for Croke Park on Saturday for that ladies' All-Ireland semi-final, which throws in at 4 p.m. The question again, which county did Donegal beat in the opening round of this year's All-Ireland Senior Ladies Championship? Was it Waterford or Cork? Which county did Donegal beat in the opening round of this year's All-Ireland Senior Ladies Championship? Was it Waterford or Cork? Stick your answer, your name and where you're from on a text to 086 60 25,000. That's 086 60 25,000. And we will announce the winner later on our Facebook page. So we've heard from the Donegal manager. Let's hear from the Donegal captain. Tom Comack has also been speaking with Mavill's Niamh McLaughlin.
As hard as being over Dublin, sunk in yet, you know, because you went into that game pretty much the underdogs, didn't you?
Yep. I think, look, any day you're playing Dublin, you're always going to be an underdog. They've been the best team this last 4, 5, 6 years in the country. Look, we had a game plan and we stuck to it for 60 minutes and we worked extremely hard, and I think we fully deserved the win.
You mentioned the game plan. It was built on hard work and intensity, wasn't it? And really getting back there in numbers. I know you've been playing that sort of game, but you went up another level on Saturday.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's something that we spoke a lot about this last wee while. Look, we know if we can work hard and get 100% effort from everyone for the full 60 minutes, then we wouldn't be too far away. Everything else would take care of itself, you know.
Knocking on the door for the last few years, I suppose, and coming close to getting in a jar a few times.
Yeah, look, within the group and within the squad and within the management, we've always had that belief that we can, you know, we can win in All-Ireland. As you said, we've probably come up short this last few years and haven't done ourselves justice. You know, maybe being a bit inconsistent at times, not starting games well, not finishing games out. Look, Saturday was a massive win for us, but we've another even bigger task ahead of us now at the weekend. Yeah. So we'll look forward to that.
But obviously a massive boost of confidence as well.
Yeah, of course. Look, everyone, you know, of course I said to the girls after the game that, you know, enjoy the feeling that you have now and enjoy it yesterday. But we get back to work now tonight and we've another team to kind of, you know, get our sights set on.
Very short run in. Is that a concern, yeah, or would you like it a bit longer?
No, look, that's the way it is, and that's what we're going to have to adapt to. It's the same for Meath, you know. It's a quick turnaround. We've come up against them now a few times, challenge games, etc., in the last few months. So we know what they play like. They're aggressive in nature, and sure, they know us as well. So we'll go for it.
Yeah, and you happen to go back that very far to the league final. Give them a run for their money that day.
Yeah, and again, looking back to the league final, we didn't start great, so that's something that we'll be looking to kind of, you know, get better at as well. Look, we'll just concentrate on ourselves as much as possible and see where that takes us.
They play an aggressive type of game, obviously. I know Dublin have been playing probably an aggressive game for a few years, but they're playing an exceptionally aggressive, fast-running game. A lot like the game you played last Saturday, you know, they're going to pack the defence and, you know, break at pace.
Yeah, look, they've set the tone for that kind of game now, especially in the last year or two, Meath. They're very good at what they do. They're very good at getting back in numbers and very good at transitioning and attacking in numbers as well, similar to ourselves. So, look, it'll be a close game and we'll see how we get on.
On a personal level, obviously, if you had your troubles, you've had your injuries, injury free for the last couple of years now.
No bother at all on me yet. Not like I'm feeling good, I'm feeling fit, and I'm really enjoying my football and I'm enjoying training with everyone and the girls and the management, etc. So it's another day out for us.
Is there a good bond in this squad? You've been around together, for most of you, for a good while. I know there's a few new girls coming in, but
look, there's a lot of us there that have played together for years and years, and we're all very good friends. And I think it's always it's a really good team, no matter what year or who's involved. You know, it's always a very welcoming place. And as you said, if you can't have a bit of crack and you're not enjoying yourself at the same time, then, you know, that definitely brings us together. And that's something that we have that's really special too.
And a few new faces coming in this year, as a few of the younger ones maybe showing a little bit more maturity and have learned over the last year. So I particularly talk about Amy Boyle Carr.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Look, I think this is the strongest squad that we've had, you know, not just 15 or the 15, 16, 17, whatever it is. It's definitely the strongest squad. It's the best year's training that we've had, I think, the most competitive year. And that's so important to push everybody else on. You know, the team changed last week. I'm sure it'll change this week. And who knows what will happen. The likes of Amy, Shauna McFadden, and all those other girls who've come in have really lifted the standard for us, you know.
Yeah, and Roisin Rogers as well has come in, you know, and is a very good footballer, but also a great worker.
No, she is. Roisin put her head where most people wouldn't put their feet or their hands. No, she's a great girl to have about the place. And look, you know, from Roisin, you're always going to get her everything. So, not we're delighted.
Reflecting on that league final again, what was the big lesson you'll take out of that or take into Sunday's game?
I think the fact that, you know, we let Meath get ahead and we were able to claw ourselves back into the game. You know, same with Cork there a few weeks ago. We let them have a good start and we were able to claw ourselves back. So we're never far away. So, look, we just need to tighten up, and that's probably the biggest learning for us.
And you got in front of me then and you weren't able to hold on, I suppose. That was the other.
Yeah, exactly. And look, that's a wee bit of game management as well. But from Saturday, and that's something that we've been working on this last wee while, is, you know, those particular aspects, game management, and, you know, just getting everything as best we can most of the time.
Yeah, and what about Karen Guthrie coming off the bench, banging two goals, obviously, brilliant, you know, brilliant player as super sub.
Yeah, Karen's just, she's amazing, and there's no words really to describe her, but having someone like her come off the bench just gives everyone a whole lift, the team, the crowd, and look, Karen has that in her locker, and I never had any doubt she was going to step up for us on Saturday.
Obviously, a lot of preparation went into the Dublin game, a lot of hard work went into it, a lot of mental preparation went into it. You're having the same time now. Is there a fear maybe that, you know, there was so much put in that game that you need a little bit more time?
No, I don't think so. Look, the stuff that we worked on leading into the quarterfinal there is the stuff that's going to stand to us now this week as well, and, you know, hopefully in the coming weeks. So it's just what we're going to build on, and, you know, we'll obviously tidy up on a few things, and but we'll keep working to our strengths as well.
And Croke Park, it's not that strange here. Most of you have played in it, I'm sure.
A few years have played there, but we're not as seasoned as people might think, you know. But look, we had that good experience there a few months ago. So, you know, it's not going to be completely different to anyone playing there now on Saturday. And look, we'll look forward to any day in Croke Park.
It's the main game as well. So the curtain raiser goes to Kerry and Mayo.
Yeah, look, I think both games are going to be very entertaining games. You couldn't call it, you know, between them, and they're going to go right down to the wire and set the championship there now, even with Cork and the likes of Dublin out of it. You know, everyone has a chance and everyone will be going for it.
The fact that Dublin and Cork are out of it, do you feel it's a probably more open championship?
I think so, yeah. But look, we'll give it a rattle anyway, and we're going to do our best.
Niamh McLaughlin saying Donegal will do their best this coming Saturday at Croke Park. We wish Niamh and the rest of the girls and Max and the management team all the very best in that All-Ireland semi-final this coming Saturday at Croke Park. 4 o'clock is the throw-in time. And of course, there will be full live match commentary here on Highland. I'll be joined high in the Hogan stand by Maureen O'Donnell. The throw-in time is, of course, at 4 o'clock. But tonight on the programme, we're giving away two pairs of tickets to the match. We're giving a couple of lucky listeners the opportunity to head to Croke Park and give them free admission into the tie. The question: which county did Donegal beat in the opening round of this year's All-Ireland Ladies Championship? Was it Waterford or Cork? Let us know. Send us a text 086 60 25000. Put your answer, your name and address on the text, and we'll announce the winner later on this evening on our Highland Radio Facebook page. That game is, of course, the second of the games to be played in the doubleheader at Croke Park. Kerry and Mayo are up first, and they get up and running at 2 o'clock. They're into the closing 10 minutes of that European game in Riga. Derry City now trailing by 2-0. It's 4-0 on aggregate. Dipina has stepped up with a double tonight for Riga as they lead Derry City by 2-0. We'll call in with Kevin McLaughlin just to tell us about what's happened since in that tie in the second half. He was, of course, on air at halftime, but Derry, unfortunately, going to lose in Latvia tonight. Just back to Ladies Gaelic football, and there's a number of big games on Sunday in the Kernan Group Ladies League. It's Division 1 semi-final weekend. Glenfinn will have home advantage against Niamh Connell. Termon will have home advantage in the semi-final against Shunt Unions. Both games start at 10:30 on Sunday morning. The Division 3 League final is on in Lifford at 11:30 a.m. Dunlower up against Uris, and then following that, the second game at the venue, it's going to be Éireann Ballyshannon against the Dunnova Downings, and that's the Division 2 League final, and that one starts at 1 o'clock. There's a couple of big hurling games being played in the county this weekend. This it's senior semi-finals taking place on Friday and Saturday. Up first at the O'Donnell Park. Tomorrow evening, Friday, Buncrana are taking on Satanta. That one gets underway at 8 o'clock. The second senior semi-final is at the Donegal GA Centre in Convoy on Saturday. Burt will play St Unions at 6:45. Back to Friday, the two intermediate semi-finals are taking place. Down in Burt, it's Dunlow against McCool's, and at the GA Centre in Convoy, Éireann Ballyshannon are playing Carndonagh. And the Junior Hurling Championship semi-finals are taking place on Saturday evening with Satanta against Burt and Four Masters against St Unions. Those games, by the way, start at 4:30 and 5 o'clock respectively. And there's also a Division 4 football final on this weekend. Glen Swally taking on Niamh Connell on Saturday evening. Now, tributes have been paid to Derry All-Ireland Senior Football Championship winner Colin McGurk this week, who passed away earlier in the week. Colin was part of the Derry side that lifted the Sam Maguire Cup back in 1993. Colin also managed the Derry Hurlers to the All-Ireland Nicky Rackard Cup title in 2017. And in the same year, he also guided the under-21s of the county to an Ulster title. He was equally successful at club level, winning titles in both football and hurling, which included an All-Ireland club title with Lavey in 1991. Shock and sadness in the county of Derry this week following the passing of All-Ireland winner Colm McGurk. To athletics, just a week ago, Fintan Dewhurst won a silver medal for Ireland in the 400-metre hurdles at the European Under-18 Athletic Championships in Jerusalem. Dewhurst ran a personal best, 51.65, to finish second behind Elin Arsad of Norway, who ran 50.89, the fastest time this year at that age group. Fintan, a member of Tyrconnell AC and a student at St. Columba's Comprehensive School in Glenties, bettered his PB on two occasions during the week in the championships, which of course came to a conclusion with him winning a silver medal at under 18 European level. A brilliant achievement. I spoke to Fintan earlier today and asked him first, has it set in yet just how big an achievement it was to win a European medal?
Well, Ashin, I don't think it's set in fully yet. Now, obviously, I've, you know, the crowd, like people have been coming at me saying, well done, congratulations, etc. But I don't think so, no. I don't think it's set in yet.
Going into the championships, were you targeting a medal, Fintan? Was that on the cards, was it?
No, not at all. No. I was going in just for a PB. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, you were going for a PB and you certainly got it on the opening day. So you achieved your goal in the very first race.
Yeah, no, certainly. I achieved my goal, and then there was a little in my back of my head, I was like, oh well, I'm not too far off of the Irish record, and I also broke that in the heats. So
when we look at the semi-final, you qualified outside of the top six. You were one of the so-called two fastest losers to make it through to a final. Was there even a medal again in your mind at all going to the decider, or were you just looking to break another PB again?
No, I was just looking to break another PB because you know, as soon as I ran that race, I didn't run it very well, and I was like, okay, well, that's kind of it. I'll sit here and fourth, fifth maybe will be great, but I definitely need no medal. Medal was not in the mind.
What were you thinking then going into the final? What was it like on the start line? Were you nervous?
No, I wasn't as nervous for the heats or the semis. I was calm, relaxed, confident, you could say, and I just was enjoying the moment.
And I suppose that was a major factor in you taking a medal. You weren't too nervous. You were very, very calm with your surroundings. Looking back at it, the commentator referred to it as an outstanding run from Dewhurst, and that's pretty much what it was. So it was a fantastic run on the final from you, Fintan.
Yeah, it was. It was. I did the impossible, I think.
Yeah. What was it like coming around that last bend of the 400-metre hurdles? You had 100 to go. You were going into the final stretch. What was the feeling like in the legs?
The feeling, actually, usually there's it's a real slow, sluggish movement, but I could really feel that I was going. And the Irish crowd, there was a little group of Irish just cheering me on. It really helped, and I just went for it.
Your expression on your face at the end of the race after the camera panned away from the Norwegian winner, it seemed to be total shock. Were you in shock at that stage that you had taken a medal, Fintan?
Yeah. Oh, yes, 100%. Like, you can imagine, I was going in thinking fourth or fifth or PB would be great. And then to get second, not even third, it was incredible.
Incredible performance. And listen, huge congratulations again on getting the medal. But the 400-meter hurdles, how did it all start out for you in getting involved with hurdling, Fintan?
Well, I started out very young, 7, 8, just into athletics. And then I started competing about eight or nine, I think. I did high jump, and then it progressed into hurdles, progressed into multi-events, and I became stronger as a runner, stronger as an athlete, just because of the multi-events. Yeah. And there was one day Brian just went, "Oh, well, we'll have a go at the 300 hurdles." So it goes from 250 to 300 to 400. Mm-hmm. I tried the 300 in All-Irelands in September, and I came second, and I think that was kind of when it clicked. That was when we thought, gee, this might be the event.
Yeah, yeah. How long ago was that? September of what year?
September last year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, yeah. You've certainly impressed, and you've certainly come on from a 300 into an impressive 400-meter runner. You mentioned Brian there, your coach, Brian McMonagle. You worked a long time with him, have you?
Yes, he's been my coach literally since I was 7 or 8. Like, he's been there all the way.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously it was a very proud moment for him too, watching you cross the line and take a European silver.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as I crossed that line, it was, you know, I was gobsmacked. And then I look around, see if Brian was there and see my dad, and I was looking for everyone, you know.
Yeah. It's brilliant for the club as well, Fintan. Tyrconnell, I was speaking to Eamon Harvey actually a couple of weeks ago about how the youth within the club have been excelling. And again, this performance, this medal-winning performance by you shows, I suppose, all the hard work that has been done by everybody involved in the club, and in particular the coaches there.
Yeah, yeah. No, Eamon's he's great with the club. And the club, I can't thank the club enough for the, you know, they put some money towards Frankenville, which was my first international. I didn't even think I was going to Frankenville. And then I was selected for it just last minute, and the club paid for some of the flights because the Irish team couldn't, because they had to either kick someone off the team or just made me join. So I joined, and that was great. Like, it was a big help.
We can't forget about your brother, because he's a hurdler too, and he's a talented runner as well, isn't he, Fintan?
Yeah, Ethan. Yeah, no, he's getting there. He's getting there.
He's getting good stuff. Listen, the World Championships are starting on Friday. We've got three Donegal athletes, part of the Irish 21 team that's there. Now that you've won a medal at under 18 European level, does that performance give you belief that maybe one day you could be representing Ireland at a World Senior Championships, and even maybe go as far as an Olympics, Fintan? Is that a dream of yours?
Yes, that's a dream. It was a dream since I was, again, 7 or 8, since I started. It was a dream to compete for the Irish team, and then to do it and win a medal at Europeans. That was crazy. And yeah, 100%. Worlds or the Olympics is definitely, I'll have a go. Like.
Well, there's no downtime for you at the moment because you've got a busy weekend. You have the SAB International on Saturday, and then there's under 23 Nationals on Sunday. So what are you hoping for out of the weekend then, Fintan?
Well, I'm hoping obviously to win in the SIABs because it's only UK and Ireland. So I should have a fairly all right run. Hoping to maybe, I could even PB again, but I don't really care too much. Not too fussed. And then the under 23s, I'm hoping to just get a good run because the hurdles are higher. It's real men's height. Yeah. So I want to get a good run, a good introduction to that height.
After this weekend, what's next for you? I'm sure there'll be a bit of downtime on the way, will there, for you?
I'm not thinking ahead too much. I'm kind of just taking it a day, every day as it comes. And I'll see what happens. There might be little small competitions that I may enter in, like there's multi-events coming up. I may have a go. You know.
Okay. When's the Worlds coming at your age group? Is that next year, is it?
Yeah, next year, Worlds under 20s, I believe, or else it might be under 20 Europeans. It might be a Swiss and stuff.
Yeah, and do you have to qualify for them, or maybe the performance that you had in the under 18s, is that good enough to maybe to secure your qualification, or do you have to go through a whole process again, do you think?
Yeah, so I have to keep fit, and I have to, so there's A's and B standards for Worlds. So if I get two B standards, which I believe is 52.4. So if I run 52.4 in two separate competitions, I qualify. That's next year, mind you. And if I get one A standard, which is 51.9, you just get straight through. Now, there's always these like little things, like you can't compete in multiple events and stuff like that. So I'll be going just for four hurdles. And yeah, obviously, I'll have a go, like hoping, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, listen, the best of luck with what lies ahead for you, Fintan, and this weekend as well. But many thanks for joining us here in Highland Radio, and enjoy your continued success off the back of the European silver medal winning performance, because it was a fantastic performance. And congratulations again. Thanks for joining us, Fintan.
Thank you, Oisin. It's been a pleasure. It really has.
Super stuff. Good to talk to young Fintan Dewhurst after his silver medal winning performance at the Europeans last week. It's going to be a busy weekend, as you heard him say. There's the internationals there, which is the SIAB internationals on Saturday. There's a number of Northwest athletes come down, and then there's a large contingent heading to the national junior and under 23s in Tullamore on Sunday as well. Patsy McGonigal will, of course, be keeping us up to date with everything there. The World Athletics Championships get up and running tomorrow Friday at the University of Oregon in the United States. Three Fintan Valley athletes form part of the 21 Ireland team at the championships. John Kelly, who is taking part in his first Worlds, will be in action tomorrow evening, Friday, in the shot put qualification. The Irish senior champion and national record holder throws after 2 a.m. Irish time Saturday morning. He would need to smash his personal best by over a metre to gain automatic qualification for the final. John, of course, threw 20 metres for the first time at the start of the month in Cork, setting the new record at 20.16 metres. Mark English will be involved on day 6 of the championships. He runs in the heats of the 800 metres next Wednesday, the 20th of July, while Brendan Boyce takes on the 35 kilometre walk on the final day in Oregon on Sunday the 24th. Let's go back to Europa Conference League qualification football. Riga FC hosting Derry City in the second leg. Riga, of course, won the first leg at the Brandywell the previous week by 2-0. A similar situation tonight. Derry failing to score on the road. Kevin McLaughlin has the details. Kevin.
Yes, I've seen similar scoreline as last week. It's finished 2-0 to Riga. And that man, Gabriel Ramos, scored a brace. He scored one last week. They give Riga the lead. And he scored two this evening. Two great goals. And two goals that sort of ended the tie. Particularly his opener on 33 minutes. Side footed home from close range. And his second goal is a wonder strike in 76 minutes. Broke clear down the left-hand side. Cut inside and fired into the top corner. Rory Higgins will be bitterly disappointed because his team didn't really get going at all last week in the first leg, and that's where it sort of fell apart for them. Tonight is where he'll be really annoyed because his team had enough chances in that first half an hour to get back into the tie, if not even go in front on the tie, despite trailing 2-0 from last week's first leg. Akin Tundi had two good chances, particularly one when he's one-on-one, keeper to beat and fired it wide. And then just as if you don't take your chances at this level, it comes back to bite you, and that's exactly what happened. And Ramos showed them how to do it. They scored another brace of two stunning strikes, as I said.
And Derry will now very much refocus for the derby on Sunday, and Derry will be looking to bounce back against their rivals on the road at Finn Park.
They certainly will, and they have to sort of get their season back up and running in the league terms. Now, prior to the break, they were a terrible run of form. But since the break, they've picked up two wins in the bounce, beating UCD and also winning there last week, or 2 weeks ago, I should say now, against Bohemians. 1-3-2 down there in Dublin. That was a big result. So it's just now trying to build that momentum in the league and bouncing back from this defeat here. The pleasing aspect from tonight's game, Michael Duffy came off the bench for the final 20 minutes. That's his first start, and I think it's 6 or 7 months now. So that's a big boost for Derry to get him back. There was a significant moment late on. Owen Toole, the Derry City skipper, was substituted by manager Rory Higgins. There's a lot of talk that that possibly could be his last game with Bolton Wanderers, possibly making a move for Owen. So bringing him off for Kieran Colby 5 minutes to go, it was probably one of them sort of gestures that the fans could give Owen a bit of a round of applause. But we'll have to watch that space to see how that goes.
Yeah. Just finally, Kevin, an update on another score. Sligo Rovers at half-time are trailing Baha Town by a goal to nil. It's 2-2 in aggregate. The pressure certainly on the home side Sligo now.
Definitely. And, you know, this is one of them games where everybody, when you seen the draw, you're going, you wouldn't mind them. No disrespect. The Welsh team, they're in pre-season. They're nowhere near the games that Sligo have played. So this is a setback for them, and it'll be a massive blow for Sligo if they lost that, because at the end of the day, you've Mullerwell in the next round, a big European tie, two-legged against a Scots team. Everything was there for Sligo. You play a Welsh team, you play a Scots team, the travel's hardly anything. So this will be a disaster if Sligo can't get through there. They will have to come out in the second half and improve things.
Yeah, hopefully they will. Listen, Kevin, many thanks for joining us this evening.
No problem.
That's Kevin McLaughlin, soccer writer, sports writer with the Derry Journal, following the action for Derry, who unfortunately lost out 2-0 tonight in Europe. That means they're knocked out on aggregate by 4-0. Our competition winners, by the way, we asked you the question, which county did Donegal beat in the opening round of this year's All-Ireland Ladies Championship? The answer was Waterford. So congratulations to Rose O'Reilly from Creasla and Roisin Jordan from Manor Cunningham. Congratulations. There's a pair of tickets for you for Croke Park this coming Saturday. You'll be able to take a friend along to Croke Park to watch Donegal against Meath in that All-Ireland Ladies Senior Championship semi-final. We'll be in contact with you after the show. I think we do have time, for a report on today's golf action, where, of course, Rory McIlroy made an impressive start as he's put himself in contention at the end of day one. Let's get the latest from the Open. It's at St Andrews. There for Highland Radio Sport is Dennis Kerwin.
Rory McIlroy compiled an excellent opening round 66 that contained 7 birdies and just a single drop shot, and he's just 2 shots off the lead, currently held by 25-year-old New Yorker Cameron Young. He had 8 birdies in an excellent opening round of 64. Next best in the clubhouse is Australian Cameron Smith. He signed for a round of 67, and the best ongoing round is that of world number 1 Scottie Scheffler, who's 4 under par through 15. It's been a tough day for Tiger Woods. Tiger made 2 double bogeys so far and is 5 over par through 11. Shane Lowry had a slow start. He was 3 over par after 4 holes, but fought back well, and he eventually signed for a level par round of 72. Seamus Power had a round of 73. Padraig Harrington is 2 under par now through 12. His fellow Dubliner David Carey is level par through 8, while Galway's Ronan Mullarney is also going well. He's 2 under par through 7. At the 150th Open Championship at St Andrews, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Well, let's get the thoughts now. Rory McIlroy, 2 behind the leader, Cameron Young. McIlroy's on 6 under. He says he's feeling in good form.
Yeah, I'm putting well. I'm seeing shots well around the greens. I'm thinking well. And I think that's the most important. And I think that's the most important part this week, is thinking well around this place. You know, if you can do that, you know, you'll keep yourself in the tournament.
That's Rory McIlroy, who's thinking well and hoping to do well at St Andrews this coming weekend at the Open Championship, the 150th Open, which has been played at St Andrews, and still very much to play for, but McIlroy in contention. And that is it for another edition of The Score. Remember, if you missed any of the programme, you'll be able to log into the sports section of HighlandRadio.com shortly. Be able to recap what we aired for you tonight. And our next sport here in Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news, The Bulletin with Chris Ashmore. So what's left of your Thursday, enjoy it. Have a good one. Thanks for listening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.